on the SACL CAI toll-free line for you. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne. And Mark.
That number, again, is 1-800-259-9231. You can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. All the features for free, so enjoy those on us. FreeTalkLive.com. We're going to bring back Don in Kansas. Don, you're back on Free Talk Live. Thank you for hanging through that news break. I know it's always a long one. Now, you brought up a pretty important issue before we went to the break, and we didn't have enough time to address it. I wanted to hold you over so we could really dig into this one, because it's important. It's the idea of the free market and racism. You know, how would the two interact? How would things be different? I think we also need to talk about what things are like today, because you started telling us that you live in Kansas. And,
Kansas City, sir. Work in Kansas, actually, but I live in Kansas City.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Okay, so you work in Kansas, but live in Kansas City.
Correct.
Okay, and you were saying that at the place that you work, you deal with racism on a daily basis.
On a daily, yes, sir.
Because you've got coworkers who, as you put it, they don't really get around black people very often, with the exception of when they see you at work, and so they have some misconceptions, some preconceptions about what all black people are like, which is a silly thing to think that all of one group of people are the same. But that's reality, and that's what you're dealing with, correct?
Correct.
Can you give me an example of how that manifests itself at your job?
Well, just the whole chicken thing. Don, you like watermelon, or you like grape soda. All the misconceptions that people believe that only black people do. You're the only person that likes fried chicken.
I'd like to say I have a watermelon in my fridge as we speak.
And I am a big fan of fried chicken.
Exactly. And that's what I try to say. It's not just black people that like chicken. I believe everyone likes chicken. But here's a quick story. One guy at work, I came out and blatantly told him, like, you're a racist. I don't want to deal with you. And he said, Don, I'm not a racist. He said, you know, the only time I use the N-word is when I want to disrespect my wife or I stub my toe on the edge of a table. I said, so you don't say the F word, you don't say the S word, you just say the N word. I said,
unusual.
That don't make any sense to me. Exactly. Well, and I was looking dumbfounded because I said, you can't believe, you can't see your prejudice, your racist self. I mean, look at yourself. You're actually proving my point, and yet he still could not see it.
Where did he learn that from? Maybe his father did it or something.
Absolutely. A lot of these gentlemen that I work with, you know, come from families that are, you know, closed-minded individuals, I should say.
Now, sure,
I'm not so sure that somebody who drops the N-bomb when they hurt themselves or just as an expletive instead of using the F-word or some other term like that, I'm not sure that that's exactly racist. It might be inappropriate.
I think it certainly belies a racist mindset.
I mean, you're using this in a negative term, and then you can't understand the reason why I would feel offended if you use this word around me.
I'm saying?
It's like if you're using it in a negative manner all the time, this is not something that you use with your friends. This is only the word that you use to demean people, and I'm supposed to be comfortable with you saying it?
I'm not saying you're supposed to be comfortable. I'm not saying that you're not supposed to be offended. I am saying that it's not necessarily racist. Racist
okay.
is a belief about people, a group of people. So dropping the N-bomb when you stub your toe, although
I think a white guy that is frequently utters that term is probably going to be a racist. I think that's a fair jump to make.
I don't think it is.
Or maybe he's just...
But I don't want to argue semantics about the N-word either.
Right.
I just wanted to say that I just don't think that that's necessarily what a racist is.
So another point that I would like to quickly make is that when I listen to this show, I've only been listening since May, and you guys have done a lot to help me understand the whole free market. I think I am coming aboard with this.
Great.
You know, I've heard you, Ian, say that you should be ostracized if you say live in a community and I am the minority, and whatever happens to me, I should, you know, I deserve it because you are the minority in this group. And I kind of put that into the same aspect of while I'm at work. I am the minority. And I can't run away from every situation. Number one, this is my food. And number two, it's not going to help them understand me any better. So I feel like it's my job, my duty, not only to come to work and perform, but to show them that, you know, there is more to us than, you know, these preconceived notions that they have about us in the first place.
Sure, and that's very noble. And I'd like to say, I don't know if... I don't know if you quite understood what I've said correctly. I didn't say that minorities should be ostracized. I just said that ostracism should be the only way that people should be able to, you know, deal with situations as far as, you know, instead of arresting someone that hasn't harmed anyone else, if someone's doing something you don't like, it doesn't have to be minority or majority. I mean, it could be, you could ostracize the majority if you wanted to. If someone's doing something you personally don't like or and for whatever reason you don't want to deal with that person, then you shouldn't be forced to deal with them. That's my issue. I'm not for forced separation, nor am I for forced integration. I don't think force should be utilized at all. I think the market should organize itself in whatever way it decides is best, and that depends on all these millions and trillions of individual decisions being made at any given moment. Now, you're concerned, as I understand it, with, you know, what would happen. Would racists have more power in... Is this a question you're asking yourself? Would racists have more power in a free market society?
Sure. And I perceive that in the free market that it would basically do nothing more but segregate the country even more. I mean, we would not be able to live or work together because, as you just said, that you don't believe that there should be any force, which I agree 100%, but I don't see how this will work coincides where communities can't exist together. What if I need to go to the other side of the town? And because it's on the other side of the town, I have to go through a place that I'm not welcome. So whatever happens to me, it seems like you're saying that it's acceptable because I should not have to, I shouldn't go that way, or I should go around, or, and I don't feel like it should be that way. I should feel, be able to go anywhere I want to go.
Well, except if there's private property. See, now, in a free marketplace, everything is private property. There is no more government-owned property that you have a right to be on. Since everything is private property, then it's all up to the whims of the private property owners as to who they allow in and who they don't. Now, you know, look at your local grocery stores and that sort of thing. They want everybody to come in there, and they want everyone to shop with them, and they're going to give everybody good service because they understand that if they exclude a certain segment of the population, then that population is going to go to their competition, who will allow them to shop there. And similarly, roads and that sort of thing will also be privately owned, and road owners won't want to throw away that potential revenue or those advertising dollars by preventing people from utilizing their roads. But if an individual owns a certain piece of property, you certainly don't have the ability to cross over it if that person doesn't want you to, and nor should you be forcing yourself upon their property either.
It may not even be about race.
But you're saying forcing yourself. Why would I be forcing myself if I need to drive to get somewhere else where maybe I will be accepted? I mean, I don't understand how you can say you can privatize roads if when roads get you to destinations where you might have to travel through towns or places where you might not be welcome. I mean, when I go to Louisiana, there are certain places I do not want to stop at. There are certain places that I hope that to God that I don't break down in.
Right.
But so the laws aren't working there. Is that what you're saying, Don? Is that the laws are not working there?
I believe the laws are not working at all. I mean, there's a whole this good old boy mentality, but I do not want to feel uncomfortable. I mean, do you understand what I'm saying?
Right,
like, I don't
absolutely.
Want to,
and I think that that's really I think that's really the issue, is that most people don't go places that they're not welcome anyway.
I'm a white Yankee from New England. I'm a Yankee, and if I get pulled over in Louisiana, I worry, too.
Well, you're whitish.
Whitish,
you would. You would be as worried as I would be worried.
Absolutely true.
But you know something? Racism is a moral issue, and so if you try to legislate morality, what happens is that certain people who might ordinarily not be inclined to be racist might be resentful that they're being legislated or the thought police are out on certain issues. And
I'm not trying to legislate anything.
Right.
I'm asking a simple question of how this will work in a free market so that I can have a better understanding of how this whole free market thing works. I'm still in the understanding process of how this works. I agree with a lot of things that you guys are saying, but this is one of my things that I'm like, I don't just see how this will work.
Sure, and it's tough to, you know, it's tough to just sort of let it go, right? Because that's basically what you have to do. You can't really just worry about all these potential scenarios where, you know, some racist might get in charge of a road somewhere and stop allowing Chinamen on the road. I mean, it's very unlikely that something like that would happen in a free market because of economic pressures, because those people will want as many people driving on their roads as they possibly can have, so the billboards are worth more money that they can sell to people and that sort of thing. I don't think that you should get mired down in those concerns, because what really concerns me as far as racism is concerned, and if you'll hold through, Don, we'll bring you back, 800-259-9231, because I'm not done talking about this, and I want to really delve into institutionalized racism, government-approved and government-sponsored racism, because, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, no, a racist might get in charge of a road somewhere. It's another thing to say, what happens if the racists are in control of government? I believe that's what we have today, and I'll explain why.
More dangerous.
This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com. Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
The United States seems to be celebrating over its triumph of reducing government debt. But the truth be told, public and private debt increased to a record high in 1999, reaching a peak of $14.8 trillion, marking 10.57% annual increase, outpacing its previous 10 years. The U.S. economy receives its currency by taking on debt through a private banking institution called the Federal Reserve System. In the year 2000, debt growth collapsed to only 4.5%. It's bad enough that the U.S. citizens is bound by debt in order to have commerce. However, shocking the economy with a reduction of this magnitude could wipe out years of growth in a stock portfolio. Before you make your next investment decision, get the cold hard facts. Call 1-800-686-2237 for your free report on the outstanding level of public and private debt. You must understand how recession and depression are driven by outstanding debt. Call 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Is credit card debt making your life stressful? Do you avoid answering the phone in fear of another creditor calling? How would you like to cut your credit card balances by as much as half? Well, now you can. Safeguard Debt Management Services will connect you with a debt management specialist who will negotiate with your creditors to reduce your balances by as much as half. You can consolidate all of your high credit card balances into one monthly payment. Call for a free no-obligation debt consultation and learn how to get your very own customized debt management program. 1-800-794-4313 and join the financial freedom you've dreamed of, knowing your debt is being handled by professionals. Call now for your free no-obligation debt consultation. Regardless of your credit history, Safeguard can help. Get the answers you're looking for. The call is free, the consultation is free, and the information could change your life. Call now. 1-800-794-4313. That's 1-800-794-4313.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent GCN Health News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 GCN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to GCN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply set aside for GCN listeners, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. That's www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. That's 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
And join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We've got updates. Get signed up. We'll clue you in whenever there's something fresh and new to announce about the show. Get on the list at updates.freetalklive.com. That is updates.freetalklive.com. And do you know if your hard-earned wealth is at risk? If you have a business, there's a 1 in 3 chance you'll be named in a lawsuit in the next year. That lawsuit could destroy your business and leave you penniless. At KeepYourAssets.net, They're experts in sheltering what you've earned. Go to keepyourassets.net and take their asset protection crash course today. That's keepyourassets.net. Talking about racism in our current world and also in the theoretical world of the free market. Let's go back to Don in Kansas. I think you described yourself as a 23-year-old, was it? Black male living in the Kansas City area?
Yes.
And you're kind of getting into this whole free market paradigm. You're liking what you're hearing, but you're concerned about, you know, what about the racist element? And I think it's important to point out, as we've done before on this show, that the free market isn't utopia. The free market isn't paradise. There are going to be problems, inevitably. But I think that there's a big difference between this, you know, the sort of scary concept of, oh, no, what if a racist is running a business or, you know, owns a road and wants to keep black people off or Chinese people off or whatever, versus my question that I asked before we went to break, and that was, well, what happens when the racists get in charge of government? I mean, you know, which would you like? Because what we have today is this situation where government is in control of so much of our lives in so many different areas that when the good old boy network that you mentioned earlier, these, you know, rednecks, for lack of a better term, get in charge of the state, they pass all kinds of racist, in many ways, the legislation that's racist is very subtle about it. It doesn't come right out and say, you know, we need to enslave more black people, but it's very subtle, like regulations that, for instance, there was a great example, and if you haven't read Mary Ruart's Healing Our World yet, highly recommend it. Go to ruart.com, R-U-W-A-R-T.com. She has her 90s edition of the book there for free, and she's got an updated edition that she sells. But there's a great story in that book about a 15-year-old black girl who was who decided that she was going to, you know, start her own business and make a little bit of money on the side and provide a service that was in high demand in the area that she lived in, and that was African-style hair braiding. The ladies that lived in the area couldn't go to any haircutting places and get this done because it just wasn't offered. And so this young girl, very entrepreneurial spirit, decided she was going to start braiding hair in this particular style at her home, or her mother's home, presumably. And so people started coming in. She started getting business. She was doing pretty well for herself for being 15 and all that. And, of course, as word spread about her business, a newspaper journalist found out about it. And you know how journalists, they like to do these human interest stories. Oh, look, isn't that cute? This little girl's running her own business. You know, those sorts of stories. And so after the newspaper story came out, then the bureaucrats got wind of it. And guess what happened?
She wasn't certified.
She didn't have her license. Well, of course, guess what happens when you... The whole licensing process was really interesting because she actually looked into, well, what would it take to get my license? Because she really wanted to provide this African hair braiding service. And it turns out you need 1,000 hours or whatever, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours of training, which they train you on nails and hair and all kinds of different things, but none of the training includes African hair braiding. And, of course, then she also didn't have a business license or any of that stuff. And so, you know, there's all kinds of these rules and regulations that really effectively oppress poor people. And I'm not just, it's not just necessarily blacks, but obviously it affects more blacks than it does whites and Hispanics as well and that sort of thing. And poor whites are affected, too. But it's even worse when you've got the good old boy network that's in power and they can selectively decide who to enforce their laws on and who not to enforce their laws on. So it seems to me that what we have today is an absolutely awful situation and that the free marketplace could only improve that. Would there still be racism? Of course there would. I mean, getting rid of racism is a huge challenge, but letting people organize themselves on a voluntary basis seems to me to be the best solution to that problem. I wish that tomorrow morning we'd all wake up and be mulattoes. I really do. I think that would go a long way towards getting rid of racism, but that's not going to happen.
But in the free market, you would have arbitrators. So what's the difference between having arbitrators that would be racist and biased in their opinions in the way that they might rule? Because, you know, I might not agree with the first arbitrator. Now, you said before in past episodes that, well, you just go to another one. What if they all are not, I mean, hypothetically speaking, they're not, you know, they're all on the same page and I'm not in agreement with them.
It's a good
but
question.
I have to agree with something because this is the way that they operate.
Well, remember, so arbitrators in a marketplace only stay in business by giving reasonable arbitrations, I mean, reasonable results. People that will want to use the arbitrators that are the most fair and most reasonable. If you live in an area where all of the arbitrators are responding to the consumer demand that says we want you to be racist and hand down racist decisions, you know, it theoretically there could be an area like that. Like, for instance, if a bunch of white separatists all move together to the same, you know, little town in Wyoming or something like that, yeah, you might have a tough time getting fair arbitration in that place. But what the hell are you doing living in White Town? You know,
right,
I mean, really.
But in your market will be free market. So this, obviously, this would have to happen over a period of time, the free market. So what if I was already there and then we become into the free market society? I'm not just going to up and leave because they decided that they were going to collectively get together and now all of a sudden they were going to make their own rules about it. So that would be the reason why I would, that's an example of why I would be there.
Why wouldn't you leave?
Why would I leave? I've been here.
Okay,
I was here before this started. So now here again, that takes me back to the majority rules.
Now, I get what you're saying, but currently, if that were to happen somewhere in America, it would still stink to live there. You understand?
Right, because then they're in charge of the government.
You might be able to call in the feds and be able to pull off some kind of, Mississippi burning kind of thing where you force yourself into the schools or something like that, but who the hell wants that?
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't want to force the government to do anything. I think that
I understand, but I'm just saying that our current system is no better in that scenario where racist white town has been created. If a bunch of racist, bigoted white people all move into your area where you live and you're effectively the only black guy or black family or one of very few in the area, your life is going to stink. Anyway,
it's the same complaint we get from the immigration people, the anti-immigrant people. Oh, they're coming. The immigrants are coming in here. I'm living in a place where there's 99% Mexicans, and I'm the only white person here. And they feel like that's a bad thing, and they're scared or whatever. Well, you know what? Go away. Move somewhere where you feel more comfortable. And I think it's a great point, Mark, that, you know, in the current situation, if there's a bunch of racist white people living in a certain area, inevitably they're going to run for office. They're going to win elections. They're going to appoint their buddies to the city council or the judgeship positions. And then you're really...
I thought you didn't believe in government.
Huh?
I thought you didn't believe in government. You just stated government official jobs. Which would be the city council.
Do I believe in government? No, I believe.
You don't believe in any government, so that would these things would not be in place, correct?
No, I was talking about what we have today. That's what we have today. So, I mean, if there are these racists that all move together to the same place, and you're the only black guy in town, then you're going to have a tough time whether or not it's a free market or a government, because they're going to be in charge of the state then, and then they've got political power. Which, again, it's bad as it is today. It would be better in a free market, but it wouldn't be perfect. That's my best answer.
And you're also talking about the tyranny of the majority. And if you do have individual rights as opposed to collective rights, you have more recourse and you have more protection from those types of people.
Right. Move to a place where there are, you know, white people like me around, that if I find out that there's a racist business in town, I'll actively boycott those businesses and send my business to the competition. Don, hope you keep listening and hope we hear from you again. Thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. Eric wants to comment on the whole racism thing. We'll take your calls as well. Free Talk Live.
Do you know that you can go to solar for under $1,200 now? Hi, this is Ken Solar. As you may have heard by now, I've been designing alternative energy packages for over a decade. The solar power generators that I produce will get you all the solar power you need for your household essentials. Your refrigerator, your freezer, lights, fans, electric blankets, TV, radio, clocks, phones, computers, and a lot more. No gas, no fumes, and they're totally silent. Each solar power generator comes complete with everything you'll need, including the solar panel, a 3,000-watt peak inverter, a step-by-step quick setup sheet, and battery backup. I reached that point in my life where I just didn't want to have to rely on everyone else anymore. You know, power companies, government. Anyway, getting yourself free from the utility grid is a lot easier than you might think. Are you ready to go solar? Give me a call now at 239-677-3073. Or order them on my website at a 10% discount on kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
Did you know that the water you drink every day can be even more beneficial to your health? I'm not talking so-called enriched water, but I'm talking about electrolyzed water. RPA Biotech is an amazing American company that provides unique technology to transform water. Electrolyze Plus water will alkalinize your water more powerfully than any other single nutraceutical because a body in an alkaline state can't grow pathogens, become allergic, or develop autoimmune disease or vascular degenerative illness. Electrolyze water is non-toxic, non-corrosive, and environmentally safe for humans and animals. Alkaline water is available as a concentrate to be mixed with good, filtered, purified RO water, but not tap water, microstructured, alkaline, antioxidant water for consumption. Call for your Electrolyze Plus alkalinizing miracle rejuvenating water concentrate or other remarkable RPA Biotech products like Ultimate Fuel Sport Performance Drink at 888-212-8871. That's 888-212-8871 or go to NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I with an I, medical.com.
Hi, I'm Bobby Ligas with today's Car Clinic Minute. We know it's a long way to Tipperary, but exactly how far is it? When I come back, I'll tell you how Ben Franklin would have counted the miles. Ah, spring, birds, flowers, and that blanket of pollen fuzz on your car. There's got to be a way to protect that shiny paint of your ride. And there is. A car cover made from the standard in car cover fabric, Block It by Kimberly-Clark. Research shows that car cover owners are so happy with their car covers, they'd buy them all over again. So make sure you get the best Block It car cover fabric from Kimberly-Clark. Why have you waited so long? Block It by Kimberly-Clark. I don't know about Tipperary, but Ben Franklin could have told you all about the distance between stops on the first American postal routes. During his days as postmaster, Franklin invented an odometer for measuring distances along the Colonial Mail Trail, which stretched from Maine to Florida. The odometer, attached to the wheels of his carriage, calibrated the length of the journey by counting wheel rotations. Comparing several routes, Franklin mapped the fastest network and standardized delivery times. By the way, post offices in the 1700s were taverns, inns, and coffee houses. So mail carriers love Franklin's mile markers for lots of reasons. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Are rising gas prices flattening your wallet? Try Royal Purple High Performance Motor Oil.
What? How's that?
Yes, independent tests by respected universities show Royal Purple reduces fuel consumption by as much as 5%. That means Royal Purple can deliver better gas mileage for a fatter wallet. Go to RoyalPurple.com for details. That's Royal Purple, the high performance motor oil that outperforms.
You're listening to GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You can bring up what you want toll-free at 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line for you, and it's Ian here with you.
And Wade.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online. FreeTalkLive.com, the place to go. Live streams there. Broadband version of the show and a dial-up version as well. Two sizes to fit virtually any internet connection, and they're both completely free at FreeTalkLive.com. And now you can save time and money on common legal matters. Created by top attorneys, LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable legal documents like your will or living trust in minutes. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL, like Free Talk Live, to save 10%. That's code FTL at LegalZoom.com. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Eric in Illinois. You're on Free Talk Live. Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to talk a little bit about the what Don was talking about, like with racist road owners and that sort of thing.
Yes.
I think, you know, if you think about it, like, if someone who's a racist owns a road and, you know, businesses on the road as well. And as a business, I'm not going to want my business to be on a road that only, you know, white people can get to, because that effectively cuts off, you know, 20-30% of my customers.
That's a good point. So you're saying that if there was a racist road owner, he'd be pressured by the businesses on the road to allow anybody on the road simply because they want as much business to come through their doors as possible. So in that, the only way a racist road owner could really have any power is if every single business on his road was also racist, in which case, again, why the hell do you want to go on that road or to those businesses?
Not to mention that some people may be racist, but being a racist and then applying it to your business are two totally different things. I mean, you know, when you say, I'm not going to let black people on my road, you're not just the average racist who thinks that black people eat fried chicken and watermelon more than, or, you know, they're dumber, or whatever it is that normal racists think. You're a tried and true dyed-in-the-wool racist. I mean, mm-hmm. there's not that many people running around like that.
There aren't that many people that are willing to sacrifice income. For their racism.
Right. Because not only are you not going to get the business from every black person, and likely if you don't like black people, you don't like Hispanics, you don't like Asians, you don't like Jews. Right.
You're also not going to get my business either.
Right. You're going to cut out all those quote-unquote minorities. When you add them all up, those people are probably somewhere near the majority. But, you know, you're not going to get any of their business, and you're not going to get the business from any white person who has, you know, scruples about this issue. Yeah. I'm not gonna frequent your business.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna ever go to their business.
And you know, I wanted to tell Don when he was on that if it were me in his position at work, I would just do the best possible job I could, and then I'd find somebody else who appreciated me more, and I'd wait to watch them say, "Oh, we're sorry you're leaving. Why are you leaving?"
Mm.
And because there's plenty of other employers out there, I know there are, who would appreciate him.
Absolutely.
And you have to realize that you have to take your business elsewhere or your skills elsewhere sometimes when you're not appreciated or you're being mistreated. You can't play into the cycle of abuse because it happens to many people, even if they're not a minority.
Eric, any other thoughts?
I just wanted to point out, a lot of people accuse, businesses of being greedy and, just sort of, it goes to show how, the actual greed in a free market would sort of negate the racism because they need business in order to...
Well said. We're losing your cell phone, and thank you for the call. 800-259-9231. Let's go to Puke in New Hampshire on the amplifier line. Hey, Puke.
Hey, Puke.
Evening.
What's on your mind?
Since we were on the topic of race, I thought I'd comment on something I saw on a national news program the other day. They had an article, it was like a TV segment, where they were talking about there are white people moving into Harlem in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was so bizarre that this was a national news program that was talking about how white people are moving into what has predominantly been a black part of New York. And I mean, they even had, comments from some natives there that were saying that Harlem was losing its culture and stuff because white people were moving in. And I just thought it was very bizarre because if they had run the same article or segment and it had been black people moving into a white town, there would have been this huge uproar, more than likely.
Oh, yeah.
And so I just thought that was very bizarre. I just wanted to see what you guys' comments on that might be or not.
It's retaliation, really, because, black people have felt that. And I think that what happens is that we get into this victim versus aggressor cycle in society, and that's the other side of that.
When you say victim versus aggressor, what do you mean?
Well, I think that when you have government, institutionalized racism, you have government trying to enforce morality on people, some people resent it, and then they retaliate.
It's true. Absolutely. That much is true.
That's what I'm seeing. It's just like, you shouldn't make a big point of any sort of people moving in anywhere or doing anything, because it's still a form of racism, no matter what color their skin are.
Yeah.
Just because they're white doesn't mean that it's not racist to say something about them, right?
Good point, Pete.
I just wanted to bring that up. So.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231. You can bring up whatever you want. We still have to address the animal rights thing. We haven't touched on that yet, and we will get to it. But first, Josh in Massachusetts. You're on Free Talk Live. Hello, Josh. Great. What's up?
How are you? Hey, not too much. I just want to change the topic here a little bit.
Sure,
I was looking at the archive from the 16th, and you had Paul on from Maryland, and he was talking about Social Security numbers and how they give you a contractual obligation to income tax.
Yes, allegedly, though, of course, very few people actually contract for their Social Security number. It's done by their parents, which is, of course, not a valid contract.
Right. I've never had a Social Security number.
Never, ever?
My parents never signed me up for one.
Wow.
Nope, never.
How do you get jobs? Are you working under the table or what?
I work for myself. All of us work for ourselves. I've had jobs in the past and I've worked under the table.
When you say all of us, you mean brothers and sisters of yours?
Yeah, my family basically. It's we all work for ourselves, so it's not too tough to get along. We have some problems like my brothers and I are having bank accounts, troubles with licenses, things like that.
I imagine so. Do you have a bank account?
Tough. Me? No, I don't have a bank account right now.
Have you ever?
No, I had them for about a week.
What happened?
I knew I knew the guy who signed the guy. A guy signed me up for it. I knew the manager of the bank, and it was all cool. And you know, everything was went through just fine. And the bank president came along, and he saw this discrepancy in the paperwork, and he got infuriated. Told the tellers not to do any business with me, and they canceled my account. And 2 weeks later, gave me a check for the money I had deposited.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it really
cash,
is.
Huh?
Well, they cited some law, the Bank Secrecy Act, and they said that it doesn't require a Social Security number. And what the law says, it says, you know, the financial institution must request the bank, the applicant's Social Security or tax ID number, if any. I've never had one, so it doesn't apply to me.
Right.
Interesting.
Yeah. But they're afraid, though. They're afraid of the feds coming down on them for that stuff.
Yeah. They're terrified. They're just good little slaves.
Well, you know, I have my parents applied for a number for me, so I don't have any issue. It doesn't seem to me that I'm not contracting with the government by using that number. So when I go to a bank and I sign up for that for their service, you know, I'm not contracting with the government. I'm contracting with the bank, and they just are asking for this silly little number that I have. And,
right.
You know, sometimes when if a government form that I'm filling out asks for the Social Security number, I might accidentally remember it incorrectly. You know, it's to the best of my knowledge. I don't use it very often, so I might transpose a few numbers on accident, that sort of thing. So I don't take the thing very seriously, but it is something I have, and I don't really feel as though there's any purpose in going through a process to remove it or to get rid of it or anything like that. I don't pay Social Security. Not interested in paying income taxes either, and so I just don't. So
well,
you can
go
still
on
have
with
a number.
That dishonor thing that you know the guy from DC talks about as well. You know, I'm talking about if you don't acknowledge it, you're basically in dishonor.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Now, wait, who was talking about that?
You know, I forgot his name. The guy from Canada.
Robert Menard. Think Free.
Right, Robert Menard. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, there's some interesting information about that. And basically, as what he's putting out there, and I don't know if you've ever commented on this, Wayne, but the idea is that when the government sends something to you, they're only used to you doing certain things. They'll tell you, like if you get a ticket, for instance, they'll tell you there are certain things you can do. And thank you for the call, Josh. We appreciate hearing from you. 800-259-9231. Some of those things are ignore it. Like you're ignoring the ticket, then there's also challenging the ticket, and then there's also paying the ticket. But what Robert Menard is pointing out is that there's a fourth option, and that is discussion. We'll talk about that coming up, and I don't know if you've heard of this before, Wayne, but I presume you might have. This is Free Talk Live.
What's the worst thing about listening to the radio? The commercial breaks are too long. Now for just $3 a month, you can help Free Talk Live reduce the amount of time we spend playing commercials and get some really cool bonuses. Your contribution will help us get the show on more radio stations and MP3 players. For pennies a day, you'll help spread the message of liberty around the world. For more information, visit amp.freetalklive.com. Consider becoming a Free Talk Live amplifier today for just $3 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Do you believe in liberty? Are you an activist or organization that wants to spread the message of freedom to others? Now introducing the Liberty Card. It's the perfect resource for anyone new to the message of liberty. It features a full-spectrum political quiz and over a dozen pro-liberty websites, including Free Talk Live, Downsize DC, and others. Every defender of freedom must have this card. Free Talk Live listeners receive free shipping. For more information, visit libertycard.org.
Have you ever thought about what's in your shampoo, soap, or detergent? How about chlorides, dyes, ethanol, sulfates, sodium, formaldehydes, and more? Even fragrance can indicate the presence of some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, this is Alex Jones. I was shocked when I discovered I could be inhaling these additives that can lead to coughing, wheezing, and shortness of breath, headaches, nausea, irritation of the skin, and mucous membranes. Now compare Calben Pure Soap. All natural, earth-friendly, no harsh chemicals, no animal testing. They're safe, and you save 85% of the money you're spending on cleaning products now. Start saving over $1,000 a year for your family of four. Keep it natural. Call Calben Pure Soap for a free catalog at 1-800-340-7091 or log on to 5starsoap.com. Try Calben Pure Soaps, and I'll bet you'll never use any other cleaning products again. Call 1-800-340-7091 for all your cleaning needs.
When you're looking to build a new facility, there's a lot riding on your shoulders. You have to get a structure that meets your needs. You need one that's built to last. You need to get it built quickly. And most importantly, you need it to stay within budget. What you need is a pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel. You won't believe how much you'll save in both time and money with a brand new built-to-last steel building. For free information on how you can get the building you need with less time and money, call 1-800-920-9786. You can even customize your building. You select the size, you select the style. You can even choose to add the look of brick, stucco, or stone. Building a new facility is a big responsibility. Make it easier by calling Anthem Steel. Achieve your goals faster and with less strain on your budget. For free information, call Anthem Steel at 1-800-920-9786. Call Anthem Steel today. 1-800-920-9786. That's 1-800-920-9786.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show. You bring up anything. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line for you. And it's Ian here with you.
And Wayne.
And Mark.
1-800-259-9231. Join us online. FreeTalkLive.com. Place to go. You like the site? You like the show? Help support us. Become a Free Talk Live amplifier by going to amp.freetalklive.com and getting signed up for as little as $3 a month. It's totally voluntary. We give you everything on our website for free. So it's above and beyond all that. It's a great way to support the program because that money doesn't go to paychecks. It gets turned right around into promoting Free Talk Live, to buying advertisements in Talkers Magazine, sending us to industry conventions, to schmooze it up with the industry bigwigs, and a variety of other things. There's a long list of the ways that we're spending the money there at amp.freetalklive.com. The fact is, it's working. Hopefully, we'll be announcing a new affiliate soon. I've got my fingers crossed. I don't think I should hint at it. But it may be real close to home, Mark, our affiliate.
I don't know anything about this.
Yeah. Anyway, the details
you
all...
it's okay.
Amp.freetalklive.com. All right, so I was talking about this discussion, the idea of when the government... Let's just look at traffic tickets, for instance. When the government gives you this traffic ticket, the police officer will tell you, well, you can do, you know, you can either challenge this or you can pay it. And you also know that you can ignore it, and then you know what will happen.
Yeah, that's real bad news.
But there's three, you know, they're basically, most people are familiar with those three options. They ignore the ticket, it's not going to go away. You can challenge the ticket in court, maybe you'll win, maybe you won't. And, of course, you never really win. You're still losing your time going and challenging the ticket. And then there's the paying it, which, of course, the easy way to make it go away. But Robert Menard at ThinkFree.ca and a number of other people that have really been researching the law and looking into the system, they suggest that there is a fourth unspoken option, a fourth secret option, if you will, and that is one of discussion. And as I understand it, basically, whenever the government contacts you and, you know, demands something of you, they're asking you. They're not doing it so explicitly. I mean, they're going to use words like you must and blah, 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 things like that to make you think that you have obligations to them. When in fact, under a common law jurisdiction, which is what we all live underneath, it was what the government was formed under. The Constitution was written under common law,
mm-hmm.
right? And so under a common law jurisdiction with every man created equal, you have to contract with somebody before you can be obligated to them. And so when the government says you must do this and you must register this and you must, you know, et cetera, well, where was the obligation created
that says that I must do those things. And so that's basically what you're doing with this, the idea of discussion. You're basically saying there's this concept of honor and dishonor. And stop, because I'm kind of new at this, Wayne. I think you might have a little more experience. But there's this concept of honor and dishonor where if you ignore the missive the government sends you, you are in a state of dishonor. Because that's just how the whole thing works with honor and dishonor. Whereas if you respond to them and you don't challenge it, you don't take it into conflict, you take it to the discussion phase. So before conflict, there's a discussion possibility. Most people just pass right by it because they don't know it's there. They're only told what the government tells them and they believe everything they're told. So basically what you want to do is say, you know, I accept your notice, and we'll be happy to pay this fine upon, you know, proof of claim, upon you proving to me your claim that I owe you this money, or you're proving to me your claim that I must register my vehicle with you, or you're proving that blah, 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 and so on. Is where I'm coming from? Is it?
Yes.
Are you familiar with this?
Yes. What you're doing is you're trying to establish jurisdiction as well as any kind of contractual obligation. And they want to trick you into thinking that you have that contractual obligation or that they have jurisdiction. And there are those who are very good at challenging that and actually coming out the winner.
Because if you don't challenge it, and again, challenge isn't the right, challenging the jurisdiction, I guess is the right word. If you don't state that you want to discuss, if you don't state that you intend on staying in honor, that you don't want to dishonor them, that, you know, you respect the request that they're making, but you just want to see some documentation that shows that you became obligated to them in some way, then you're in this discussion phase that apparently not most Americans don't even know exists, and that's when the government then has to stay in honor. If they want to stay in honor, then they have to come back and respond to you and say, okay, well, here's the contract you signed that said that you were going to do this, which they can't do because there is no contract like that. And so, therefore, they're usually just going to let the matter drop. Oh, gosh, he's one of them. He knows his rights. He knows about freedom. We're just going to just go away. We don't want you. We don't want anyone else seeing you in this courtroom, that sort of thing. And it's just a fascinating process to learn about. And the more you learn, the better you'll wrap your mind around this idea that, you know, we didn't contract with these people. They want you to think that you did.
I'm not sure this is exactly a foolproof method we're talking here.
It's never foolproof when you're dealing with violent people, Mark.
You may confuse the crap out of some bureaucrats, maybe, but I'm not so sure that it seems highly unlikely to me that every bureaucrat that you're going to be dealing with from police on up are going to know about these.
No, it's not every bureaucrat. No, judges will know. Judges will know about it. Attorneys probably will know about it as well. But the people in the law club, they know about it. The functionaries, the bureaucrats, not so much. But you can bet that if they send you some sort of a written notice saying you must do so-and-so, and then you send back notice saying, I've accepted your notice and will be happy to provide you with this, you know, property tax money upon proof of claim that whatever, or with this traffic ticket upon proof of claim, then the sort of low-level bureaucrat that gets it back is going to say, what the hell is this? They've never gotten one of these things before.
Mm-hmm.
So then they take it up the line to their administrator and they hand it to them and say, how do I handle this? And then, you know, something else will happen at that point. It'll be out of their hands before you know it. So they want you to think that there are no other options. They want you to think that the options they present you with are the only choices. But that's just not the case. There's this whole discussion phase that I find absolutely fascinating. But the thing is, if you don't dissent, if you don't stand up and say, I am a sovereign, I don't want to be part of your little slave system, if you don't do any of that, then you are a part of their system. If you ignore them or if you challenge them, then you're playing into their hands. You're playing by their rules at that point. You've granted them jurisdiction, right?
Yes, essentially.
And you don't want to do that. Because if you are indeed created equal, then you have to consent to all of their rules. And by going into courtroom and going into a courtroom, for instance, and standing up when your name is called and just doing whatever it is that you think the process should be, you're granting them jurisdiction. Whereas if you go in and you say things like, there's all kinds of theories out there, right? And only some of it is tested. But, you know, there are some people that suggest that you should go in and say you're here to administrate that account. When they call your name in the courtroom, you stand up and say, I'm here on that matter. I'm here to administrate that matter. And then you go into this discussion phase where you're asking them for the proof of claim that indeed these obligations were somehow created. So they respect these processes if you know how to use them.
Well, some respect them.
Some do.
Yeah.
Some are violent individuals who'll throw you in a cage. But if you're facing being thrown in a cage anyway, then why not go for this approach?
Yeah, I think it's worthy, but you really have to do your homework. If you're going to take this attack, you really have to study up and make sure that you know what you're doing. Otherwise, you could end up in big trouble.
Right. This is not this certainly wouldn't be a trick for the ill-informed, and I would consider myself to be ill-informed on this.
I would consider too. I would consider myself to be ill-informed as well, but if I were to get into one of these situations where I'm dealing with government making demands on me, I would absolutely give it a shot because, you know, what have you got to lose? Really, especially if it's something lightweight, like a traffic ticket or something like that. I was on a website today that they were selling their information, but, you know, it wasn't at an outrageous cost. As many of these so-called Patriot sites, they'll charge you hundreds of dollars for their secret info. These guys only wanted like $75, and they had a money-back guarantee that said, you use our system, you'll get out of your traffic ticket. And it consisted of sending some sort of a notice to the judge or to the prosecutor claiming certain things, and if they don't respond to it, then they're in default, and then you go in there, and the judge basically is just supposed to kick you out of the courtroom because he doesn't want to air this in the courtroom in front of other people. And it ties into to our friend Mark Stevens over at AdventuresInLegalLand.com. He sort of addresses the idea of, you know, consenting to their jurisdiction and asking really damning questions right there in court in front of everybody else of the judge, boxing him into a corner with certain questions he has to answer yes to in order to look like he's giving you a fair trial. And then you ask him the real doozies, and he doesn't know how to respond to it without making himself look bad.
Yeah, he doesn't want the proceeding to be on the public record, so he'll usually just let you go so he doesn't have to say those things.
There's some interesting things on the thinkfree.ca website. The Robert Menard there has been engaged in some sort of a discussion with the actual Law Society of Canada. I guess that's sort of like the equivalent of, I'm sure they have a Law Society in the United States, but yeah, like the club that all these guys
right
are a member
American
of.
Bar Association.
They're very upset with him for going around spreading these ideas. And they're trying to do things to him, but he keeps, you know, he keeps responding to them and staying in honor with them to where he's not conflicting. He's not entering into conflict. And it's just a fascinating process that I look forward to learning more about. And, you know, we were talking about it during the break, this whole capitalized name thing. It's very interesting. You know, the question is, why do government bureaucracies always use capitalized letters when referencing your name? What's the reason for that?
And communicating with you.
Don't they have computers like we do where they can, you know, type little letters too? In fact, you can see them use that in letters where they're using little letters in upper cases, but for some reason, your name's all in caps. Why? Hour 3's coming up.
There are many paths you can take in the pursuit of liberty. The fastest avenue to real political change is being paved by the Republican Liberty Caucus. Join Representatives Ron Paul, Jeff Flake, and dozens of state legislators in advancing the ideals of individual rights, limited government, and private enterprise within the GOP. The Republican Liberty Caucus, online at rlc.org. That's rlc.org. Your path to liberty.
It's no secret that Genesis Communications Network depends on listeners like you. Now you can do even more to hear Genesis shows in your area. Simply call your local radio stations and tell them about your favorite GCN programs. It's easy. Log on to GCNlive.com or call us toll free, 877-807-4048. Make a difference. Call your local station and contact us through affiliate relations at GCNlive.com or call 877-807-4048. Call today.